You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
We bless your name, Lord God. We bless your name, Lord God. Father, we exalt you, Lord God, in this place. We exalt you in this place, Lord God. Instead of saying, have your way, Lord God, give us the opportunity, Lord God, Father, to show you, Lord God, that we mean what we've prayed, Lord God, over this week. Father, you've had some of your children, Lord God, that's been on their knees this week, Lord God, and the prayer became more intense, Lord God. So what I ask you, Lord God, is to give them more time to prove, Lord God, that their prayers are real, Lord God. Father, everybody don't mean what they ask, Lord God. Everybody don't mean what they pray, Lord God. Everybody don't mean, Lord God, if you give me another chance. Everybody don't mean, Lord God, if you do it for me this time. Everybody don't mean, Lord God, this time I mean it, Lord God. But Father, there is, Lord God, a group of individuals, Lord God, Father, that's hearing this message right now, and they're saying, Lord God, I meant what I said. I meant what I said. I meant what I said. I mean it, Lord God. I need thee, O Lord. I need thee, O Lord. Lord, I need you over everything. I need you over everything. All children, get up. All children, stand up in the presence of the Lord. This is not sleepy time. That is time for home. When we are here and we are lifting up the name of Jesus, we're going to give him reverence. Now, we may not understand what that means, so let me give you a quick education. When we walk into the church is not your home. The church is not Big Mama's house. The church is the house of the Lord. So we're going to give him respect. You may not like your auntie. You may not like your uncle. But hopefully you've been trained that when you walk in their home, you give them the respect that is due unto them, which is giving them a high. So when you walk into the house of the Lord, you're going to give God a respect, saying, Lord, I may be tired, but I'm going to stand because you're above every name. You're above my mama. You're above my daddy. You're above my granddaddy. I may be weak, but I'm going to stand because if I fall out, I'm going to fall out in your presence. So, Lord God, I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you my pain. I'm going to give you my struggle. I'm going to give you my annoyance. I walked in here annoyed, but, Lord God, your presence is bigger than the annoyance that I feel, Lord God. I'm going to give you my praise because the praise that's given unto you, Lord God, should be higher than the anger that I drove down the street with, Lord God. Father, I woke up disappointed, but I came in here grateful because there are some people who were disappointed and died in their disappointment. Because I have breath in my body, that gives me a chance, Lord God, to see the greatness of the Lord, Lord God. So I choose this day. I choose this day to give you my all. I choose this day to put you above my situation and my circumstance. I even choose you this day, Lord God, to give you everything, including my doubt. I give you everything, including my doubt. Lord God, I need thee, Lord God. I need thee, Lord God. There's been some doubt in my mind, Lord God. There's been some struggles in my mind, Lord God. There's been some going back and forth, Lord God. Yes, I heard the scripture that a double-minded man is unstable in all his way. But Lord, I got some things. I got some issues, Lord God. Father, I'm tired of hearing half the people say you're real. Half the people say you're not real. Some people say you're made up, God. Some people say that you're a God just to get us through, Lord God. Some people say, Lord God, there's only a third is true in the Bible. Somebody said that man created the Bible. Lord, I am tired of all of that, and what I need is the one that created everything. I want to be introduced to the one that breathed into a man, and that man became, Lord God, a living being, Lord God. I want to know the God that touched the man that could call a person and call him woman because you separated, Lord God, a rib from meat and put it in her, Lord God, and breathed into her. Lord God, I want to meet the one, Lord God, that looked upon every day on the sixth, it looked upon everything on the sixth day. And before he rested, he said it was good. I want to meet the man that created the scientists. I want to meet the man that created the archaeologists. I want to meet the one, Lord God, that made the ones that's discovering things that you already made. That's the one that David said, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of.
So we want to have the children to be raised up in the atmosphere that they know that they're in a different atmosphere than when they're in their car. We want to raise a generation when they come into this building that they understand this building is a special building because this is where the Lord dwells. This is where you get popped in the mouth in Jesus' name. This is an old school church with new school tendencies. This church, we don't believe in keep telling you to go stand in the corner because you could be bad in the corner. This church, we want you to know that Jesus is in the corner and Jesus is in my backhand. I want to meet the one that made my mama turn around and change her ways. I want to meet the one that made my daddy stop doing the stuff that he did and give his life to you. I want to meet the one that had my parents walk up, get out of their seat and walk up to that aisle and put their hands in the air. I want to meet the one that made my grandmother stop doing what she was doing and change generational things. I want to meet the one that made my grandmother go to church 7 days a week. I want to meet the one that had my mama and my daddy after school going to the church and staring there all days. I want to meet the one that they had revivals, Lord God, and people came and gave their life unto you, Lord God. I want to meet the one that people went and bought tents and put them in parking lots and they preached all day long. I want to meet the one that after church was over, people would put their hands on people and people would begin to speak in tongues, Lord God. I want to meet that one. I need thee, O Lord. I need thee, O Lord. I read enough books, I've talked to enough people, I debated enough individuals. Lord God, I want to meet the one that said it's good. Because if I meet the one that said it's good, I'll meet the one who said it's finished. And I need some things to be finished in my life. I need some things that I can say is it's finished. I want to be able to look at some things when it's in the middle of that thing and say what my daddy said, it is good. I want to be able to speak over some things. Oh, I want my faith to have the power that my daddy had. I want to speak to some things and say, it's good before it began. I want to be able to speak some power that Jesus said, it is finished before it started in me. All I'm going to ask is, do I have one witness in here that can relate to what has come out of my mouth thus far? Put your hands not towards the one that's standing up here on the stage, but put your hands as high as you can and say, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need thee. I don't need another discussion. I don't need another debate. I don't need another book. I don't need another finding from archaeologists. I don't need another discovery from a scientist. I need thee. My heart is hurting. My mind is exhausted. My feet are tired. My body is weary. I need thee. Talents will only get me so far. Education will only get me so far. Money will only get me so far. And still I feel lonely at times. People are around me, but still I feel isolated even when I'm in a group of people, Lord God. Father, I've lost the feeling of connection, Lord God. I need thee. I'm tired of people telling me who I am and what I should be. I need thee. There's pain in my heart, even when there's a smile in my face. I need thee. Father, there's times I'm unhappy when I should be happy. I need thee. Lord, there's times I'm unhappy and my bills are paid. I need thee. I know you're a miracle worker, Lord God. And Father God, I've lost my zeal to praise you. I've lost my zeal, Lord God, to walk for you. I need thee. I need thee. Work on me, Jesus. Give me time to prove to you that I meant what I prayed. I know you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. So help me in this time of transition. Help me in this time of transition. As I'm transitioning out of one thing into another, help me. I need thee. I don't need another person confirming anything. I need thee. I don't need another confirmation. I don't need another agreement. I need thee. I don't need another pep talk. I don't need another win. I've stacked up the wins, Lord God, Father God. I need thee. I don't need another success story. I've had those, Lord God. You've answered so many prayers already, Lord God. I know who you are. But I, Lord God, to be with you like I was before. So I need, you don't have to do anything else. But I need you to give me some time and some room to grow into the person that you created me to be. As you blew in Adam and had expectation in him, give me time to fulfill the expectation that you blew into me with the purpose that you had in me. I thank you, Lord God. If you thank him, can you give him 20 seconds and just thank him for giving you the time right now to be able to commune with him? If you needed that moment, can you give him 20 seconds to let him know how you needed that moment? You needed to be in that discussion with him today. It's like a catalog. The more things you've done, the more things are stored up in that thing. Hallelujah. Some of us are battling desires, thoughts, while we love Jesus. But we got to get the love out of the world, out of our heart. And unfortunately, we don't talk about it enough. And that's what I meant by, Lord, give me time, Lord God. As the Bible said, cleanse me, O Lord. Purge me, O Lord. We need purging at times, but we have to be open and honest and recognize that there are fleshly desires fighting the spiritual desires. Lord, there are things I want to do, Lord God, that's not pleasing to you, Lord God. And I don't want to want it anymore. So give me time, Lord God, to fight this thing, Lord God. Because my desire is to please you. My desire is to learn who you really are. My desire is to find out, can I have a personal relationship with you? Hallelujah. 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 You can be seated whenever you're ready. You know, sometimes it's very challenging for me to deliver a word that God has given, depending on the atmosphere. And so sometimes the atmosphere is so rough, the people are pulling, the people don't want it, the people are sad, and it's difficult to give a word when this isn't what I'm talking about this time. This is one of those times where you're going to worship, and I just want to just get on my knees, and I just want to spend time, and I want to worship God, and I don't want to talk to y'all. I know, like, if you don't want it, you don't want it. If you're not going to do it, you're not going to do it. So those that know how to pray for your pastor, because I just want to worship God right now. I feel his presence. Are you praying for me over there, John? For both of you? Because, see, right now, I'm at a point in my life as a pastor. When you've pastored for 18 years, you've made some decisions, and you're at a point in your life that this is why I understand why pastors burn out. I 100% understand why pastors burn out and they just walk away from ministry. I understand. Because you're giving and you're giving and you're giving and you're coaching and you're telling people. And then they still do whatever they want to do. And so the question is, why did you even ask me what do I believe God is saying when you don't want what God is saying? You want an out. I mean, you want an out. You want the you want to be able to do what you want to do without feeling the condemnation of the Lord. So I'm at a point in my life. I'm at a real interesting point in my life that it's very challenging to continue to be the example for Christ when this world, we're at a pivotal point in our world that so many people have made the decision that they're going to do what they want to do. That this, I mentioned it last week, this deconstruction of Christianity is so popular. It's so prevalent now that we have a generation who have decided that they don't want anything that's been before them and decided upon. They're deciding that they don't want it. We're in a generation now that they're saying anything that they were born, and if it was already in existence, they are saying, I don't want that. I want to create whatever I want and make the decisions of what I want. So Christianity is being destroyed by the popularity of the flesh. And it's difficult when the ones that are still coming to church isn't living out what the word says. So it makes it even more difficult to have a strong church when you have good attendance, but the people that's coming aren't good examples. And it's so frustrating for a pastor who is called by God to hold the mantle that he can't put his arms down and give the mantle to somebody else while he takes a nap because he's so weak, because nobody else, can I say, worthy enough to hold the mantle. So I'm finally at a point in my life that I can say these things without being mad. I laugh because, you know, there was a time in my 30s I wouldn't be able to say what I said, because I'd have been screaming, I'd have been yelling, I would have been all emotional. The things that I've said, I have no emotion behind it. These are all just data points. And parents, it is solely up to us to keep the faith. Individuals who are not parents, future parents, it is up to you to continue to hold, not only know the word, but to live it. It doesn't matter anymore. I'm off script. It doesn't matter anymore. Can I say it? I'm going to anyway. It doesn't matter anymore if you come to church. Because if you come to church with no intention of changing, what happened? You got dressed. Because that's the you don't dress like that at work, so that's the only place that you can dress up. So you come to church. What does it matter if we come to church with no intention of learning what church is about? So we come into the world worldly. We come into the church worldly, and we leave the church worldly. But none of the church got in you. I'm going to have to say it the way is being downloaded in me. I mentioned it before about going from the five words to the two words. If you have no intention on stop cussing, you have no intention on ever being used by God. Tell me where in the Bible that Jesus got frustrated and he cussed somebody out. Right now I'm talking to all y'all cussers in here. You know who you are. Because I'm going to tell you something. At pastoring in 18 years, it's not cute anymore. You know, when you first got here a couple years ago, and you're like, Pastor, yeah, I still cuss. When 3 years later, you want to. Pastor, I still drink a little bit. When you know you got a drinking problem. It ain't a little bit when the tastes take you over the top. It's not a little bit when you were at work thinking, when I get home, I'm going to get me a taste. If you're at work and you're not thinking, I need to get home to pray, if you're like, I need to get home to get a drink to get through, that's your God. And for everybody that loves puzzles and got a side piece, you get that later. Because the side piece, you got pieces of this one, and all of the side pieces equals another life. And if everything you do is to get that, and nothing you do is to get this, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? If somebody is about to die and they know you and your name doesn't come up in their mind to call, what was your life for? If you were about to die and you needed somebody, and I'm not talking about somebody to give you mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I'm saying you wanted to make sure somebody that could pray, that they knew God. And if your name don't pop up, what was your life for? Now, it's one thing if they want to go party and your name come up. If your name come up for partying, but your name don't come up for praying, what was it for? If your children don't know the ABCs and a prayer, what's going on in your home? If they don't know how to spell God and they know how to spell their name, what are you doing in the home? See how quiet it is? Because we don't talk real stuff anymore, church. Everything is entertainment with the lights and the smoke and the best musicians and the music getting you going and the dancing and the pastor rile up and say something cute. And we'll be like, oh, man, church was so good. But how did we change for the better? Yeah. For the last month after church, I've gone in something that I haven't done in, I don't know, years by now, social media. And I've gone and I've picked local pastors. And I've gone and I've listened to their message right after church. And I just skimmed through it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Nothing. And it makes me say, why do we keep going to church to get nothing, and the pastors are saying nothing, and all the people keep giving amens to nothing? So my question is, what are we doing? And why are we doing it? I'm asking everybody here at Breakthrough, I'm trying to push you up or push you out. We have 5 more months to go. I'm trying to push you up or out. All I want for you in this church is to know him, to let him change your life, and for you to walk in your purpose. That's all I want. So people say, what's the agenda in that church? That's it. But what I don't want is to keep seeing your face when it's just sad. And tired. And you tired, but you did nothing for the kingdom. Whose life have you changed? Who's decided to come to church because of your walk? Who have you brought from a place that you were at before because of your walk? You think we work in secular jobs just to work? God could give us money, but he wants us affecting others in different fields that they would never hear about Jesus. They need to be able to see somebody walking it out for real. You know, the funny thing is that God gave me a message title for this. I'm not who I was. But then I went back to God during praise and worship, and I'm literally on the drums. I'm looking at Geronimo, because Geronimo was playing this sweet bass line. And I was looking at him, and I'm like, oh, my God, that is sweet. Most of y'all new school people, y'all don't even know about that. You gotta know about the 70s to even appreciate some of the things that was going on. And I was like, man, that is sweet. I was like, man, I miss the sound of genuine authenticity, just giving what you have to God, just not thinking, just enjoying a moment. I remember me having a conversation with him a long time ago about that same thing, about just enjoying a moment. And I was like, I hope he knows this is it, what I was talking about right there, and all of that. And I thought, then the title came to me, I'm not who I was, and I said, really? Are they not who they were? Or are your people, have we changed? And do we want to? Or do we just want more money at work without changing the lives at work? Do we want a big house, but we don't want to change our home? Do we want a better neighborhood? Do we want a better neighborhood to expose our children to better? Because if we get to better, but we're not better, how do we make it better? We want bigger homes, but we don't want bigger rooms to be filled with the things of God. My goal is not to beat up anybody today. That's not what I want for the rest of my life. I'm not trying to beat up anybody. I'm not trying to judge anybody. But what I am trying to do is put things before you to let you think of those things. As the Bible says, think of these things which are lovely and just, and think of those things which are pure. I want to be able to give you things that you can think about. I want when you leave here, you have things to think about. I want you to be able to have things that you can write down, and I want things to say, this made me feel this way. This took me to this thought. I want you to be able to think on some things, but not to leave here entertained. If you left here entertained, I feel like I failed as a teacher. Go to Psalms 37, please. My time wasn't put on, so I don't know how much time I have, so I blame all of that on Darrell. Let me go ahead and go to it as I was in Song of Solomon. Psalm 37. Stay there for a second. When you begin to change, you begin to change directions. As you begin to change directions, you begin to alter the path as well as your destination. I'll say it again. When you begin to change, you begin to change directions. So when you change, as you change in life, directions change. As you change in life, the direction change, the direction of your life change as you change. So if you change for the better or you change for the worse, as you change, directions are going to change. So change is going to take place. You make a decision, decide I'm going to make a change. You're changing the direction of your life. Now, as you change the directions, you alter your path and path as well as your destination. You change where you go when you change directions. When you change your mind, you change directions. You change directions, you alter the path, and then you also change your destination. So where you originally was going to go, you're no longer going there. Why? Because you've changed direction. You've altered your path.
My clock says 1 second. I don't know what's going on with that.
Psalm 37, verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Let's stop for a moment. The steps of a good man are ordered. A good man, a man of God. Now, I want you to understand that this is not a gender type thing here. So when it says man, it's speaking of mankind. So it's important to understand that. So women, you're not excluded from this. This is a mankind reference. So the steps of mankind, of a good person, and when the Bible considers you good, they're considering you upright, meaning with God. So when you're with God, you're considered good. Another word for that is righteous, okay? But let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean perfect. Okay, so when you're good in God terms or righteous in God terms, you are walking to be upright or godly. Upright meaning not being laid down, but you're trying to position yourself to be upright. You're trying to be up even when you slip a little bit or you fall or you make a mistake. The goal or intention is to be upright. Does that make sense? So you have to understand that, and he delighteth in his way. What that means is he's not continually fighting with God in the path that God is calling him to go. He's not continually trying to convince God to change his direction. He delighteth in his way. He's happy that he's walking in this direction because he trusts God that no matter what's going to happen, God's going to make it good in the end. So he's delighteth in his way. He's not complaining or trying to change or alter the direction because he don't like the way it's going. Yeah, you know, how many times have we, something's happening, and as soon as it happens, you start complaining because you don't like it. Oh, y'all want to get quiet on me now. Oh, y'all some phony baloney. And one thing takes place, and you're like, oh, here we go again. Shut up! What do you mean, here we go again? No what formed against you? There has to be a weapon formed. It's not going to prosper, but it has to form. Let the word happen. Stop getting emotional because you've seen a weapon come at you. Weapons are supposed to happen. The Bible tells you that. It prepares us. If you believe this, you'll stop crying. No weapon that's formed against you shall be able to prosper. Pastor, they don't love me. Pastor, I'm not loved the way I want to be loved. No weapon that's formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment shall be condemned. There has to be some tongues rising up against you. There has to be some people who don't like you. But you have to be one of the people who do like you. Yeah. Did you get that, Stacey? You look pretty today. It's not like just today, but you get what I'm saying. Amen. It's important to understand this. Half the time, we're sad because somebody else don't like us and we don't even like us. Half the time, we want somebody else to tell us who we are so we can decide if we're going to agree with them. But if you knew who you were, you wouldn't need them to tell you.
Yeah. All right. I see how this is going. With so much time I have, I can just go ahead and shut this down. 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. If you listen to me, I already explained that. That when you're upright, he considers you good or upright. So I said even when you fall a trip, your intention was to be upright because you're going to make mistakes because you're human, okay, and you're not perfect. So it says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. So God's not going to say, that's it, you gone. You, hell and you will be one because you made a mistake. That's what 24 is saying. That is a lie from the pit of hell, and that's where the religious stand. But there's a special place for the religious. And I'll leave it at that. Okay. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. See, so even when you fall, come here, wife. No, lean over there. Lean. I got you. Lean. It's okay. She trusts me.
because her body weight is leaning. I'm literally holding her. If I let her go, she go flying over in the camera. Okay. This is what God does. Even when we're leaning, we're still standing. Are you getting this? She's all her weight is going in a whole different direction, but because of the one holding her up. So we are so busy concentrating that I'm not standing like I used to, instead of thanking him for standing when everything is pulling me in a different direction. Oh. Did you get that? That's why he delighteth in his way. So we should be happy even when I'm leaning, when I know I'm leaning, but it used to be, shoot, before I wasn't leaning. So you should be happy. And listen, I may be crooked, but it was a time I was flat. Crooked is closer to straight than it is to down. It's all right, because I had a couple deer in my yard this week. So I'm ready to preach to a couple of y'all. I'm ready. I got you. I ain't going to leave you hanging. Listen, had a couple deer. So I had my practice run. Okay. Had my BB gun, too. Sorry, Jesse. Hey, I tell them all the time, I got somebody down the street. You're welcome at their house. Oh, no? Oh, whoa, if the deer not welcome at Jesse's house, you know they don't have a shot at mine. Wow. That, did you hear that? Jesse was like, nope, not up in here. Okay. So, 25 says, I have been, we're still in Psalm 37. 25 says, I have been young, and now am old. Preach. I feel that. I remember reading this when I was 14, and I couldn't relate to it the way I relate to it now. Wow. Yeah, man, this is some power in this Bible right here. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor see begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. That's why it says 27, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. See, we have to understand, you can keep reading all of that, but not right now. But it's important to understand that there was a time that we were one way. And there should be another time because of decisions that we make that we should be a different way. That we should be directionally correct after you make decisions that will benefit the Christian walk. Christian walk meaning Christ-like. That we consider ourselves, at least at this church, Christians because we are striving to be Christ-like, okay? So we're striving to be an example like he was, not to be him, but to be an example like he was. He was the example, so I want to be Christ-like. That's what Christian means, Christ-like. I want to be like him, not I want to be him, because you can't be him because he was the only perfect one. So if I try to be him, I'm going to walk being deflated every day because I'm going to be reminded that I can never be him. So that's when the flesh said, well, if I can't do it, then I might as well just forget this thing. And that's why so many of us walk away from Christendom, because we feel like I'll never be able to do that. No, you will never be able to be him, but you can be like him and an example to others. Are we understanding this? So it's important to get this information. That's why some people just give up on Christianity. It's like, you know, I can't hold up to that standard. What the standard that you're trying to hold up is an improbable one. That is something that wasn't meant for us to ever walk anyway. If I want to be better, I must do better. If I want to be better, I must do better. If I want to be better, I have to do better. But I have to know what better is. I also have to know what better looks like. I also have to know what better sounds like. If I'm never exposed to better, how can I be better? If I've never seen better, how can I strive for something that I've never seen? Are you getting this? This is why God wants to challenge us and give us a higher word, to give us a higher level of accountability so that we can strive for that, not what we strive for before. Because before we were just trying to make it. Yeah. We're just trying to get through. We're just trying to get through without punching somebody or cussing somebody out or and all those things. Are you understanding what I'm saying? In order, excuse me, in order to thrive, you have to get past the mindset of surviving. In order to thrive, you got to get past survive. So you have to understand if just surviving was good enough, now better is to thrive in that thing and to be better. So if I want to be better, I got to do better. I have to be with better people, but I got to know what better people feels like, looks like, a better quality of people. I have to act better. To act better, I have to know how I previously acted. I have to compare my actions to decide, am I acting better than I did before? When I say act, I don't mean put on a performance. I must respond better than I did before, hear me, at all times, not occasional ones. I have to talk better, not just to impress somebody. But I must talk in order to please the Lord, because when I please the Lord, the Lord trusts me. Oh, why, thank you. That's so nice of you. I said talk better. I said respond better. And then finally, think better. How many of us, something happened, we say, why me? When something happens, we say, here we go again. This always happens to me. If you think it always happens to you, you'll be looking for it, and you'll be looking for it, not better. You'll be speaking to the sad instead of looking for the joy. I want to say to the single people, change your vocabulary. You know, some of you want to get hitched, also known as married. If you really want to get married, are you being the best version of you for your partner now? Are you saying, you know, they just going to have to deal with what they got? Because if that's the case, you might as well just get ready for divorce. Would you want you? If you met you, would you want to forsake all the others and just want you for the rest of your life? Okay, I'll leave that there. Are you in full-fledged mode? Like, would you want your own phone number? Would you holler at yourself if you saw yourself? Because if you still say, I got a lot to work on, why do you think somebody want to meet and connect with a project? I mean, It you may need an extension on the house, but at least have all the walls up. The drywall, have a roof. Okay, let me just. Can we go to 1 John real quick before we wrap this up? First John chapter 2. 1 John 2. Verse
We're going to read verse number 15 through verse number 17. Are we there? Verse number 15 says, this is a very popular one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Like, what does that mean? Like, love not the world. Some of you have heard that. You've heard that. But what does it mean to don't love the world, neither the things in the world? I remember when I first read this, I was like 14. I was like, what in the world does that mean? I was like, I live in the world. How can I not love where I live? I'm supposed to just walk up, be angry, and hate the world? But as I got older, I began to understand that this world is not a godly system. So, and I started recognizing as I got older, the things that I craved didn't represent the things of God. So, and then the things that I desired, God wasn't in none of that. So I recognize the importance of the scripture when you don't love the world and other things. But when you do love the world and the things in the world, can I tell you, party people, if you're with me, it's hard, excuse me, it's hard to love God and live for God when you love the world more than him. I'm gonna tell you, if you rather go to the club than the church, that's true for so many people. If you rather on a Friday night, if you rather have a party on a Friday night than to have a church event, that's a fleshly issue that you have to recognize. Like, if you pay $100 let me change that. You pay $100 for your favorite artist's concert, and I'm sure the tickets are more than $100. You say what? $400. What? $400 for Beyonce. Well, first of all, now it's not that I don't like Beyonce. I don't know her. I will never say I don't like her. I pray for her. But right now, Beyonce is my adversary because she doesn't believe what I believe, and she's trying to take people away from the kingdom of God into her world. So it's not that I don't like her. I don't like what she stands for, and I'm against her stance, not her the person. Okay. So listen, pay $400 to somebody who's mocked my God. That's your money. But my point to that is, that proves my point. We'll pay $400 for a ticket for somebody who entertains us. But when a Christian artist comes to town, we won't buy a ticket for $35. And support them. And then when they don't make enough money to survive, we wonder how come they left the gospel and went secular. And we talk about them. But you didn't support them. How are they supposed to pay their rent? Beyonce can pay hers because she's getting $400 a pop. So my point to this is, like, we're not supposed to love the world or the world system. And when we do, it's hard. Like, first of all, it's no way in the world that you could go to a Beyonce concert and get down with the get down. And then after that, go to a Christian concert and worship the way that God intended. Because your body is confused. Yeah.
You've heard too much from Beyonce to give God glory. Now, I'll say this and I'm done, because this message don't have nothing to do with Beyonce. But when I got a girl, number one, she's never invited to Breakthrough. Listen, she's not. Listen, it's on wax. I ain't scared of the gospel of Jesus Christ. She's not welcome here. You think I care that we're going to get thousands of people to come here? You know, people are like, Pastor, invite her. People get to see your church. I don't want people seeing us like that. That woman got a record called Church Girl. And on that thing, she is describing what the church girl do in the most disgusting ways. I don't want those type of church girls coming to Breakthrough. So we don't play on the same team. So that's why when the whole thing came up and God gave me the message, I'm not who I was. I said, really? How have we changed then? How can, like, this has nothing to do because she know I love her. But how can I go to a Beyonce, how can me and my wife go to a Beyonce concert and all of the disgusting demonic images, all of the demonic images is being played all around, all these things, how can we be there and somebody else getting there and we say, hey, how y'all doing? Y'all want to go to church with us tomorrow? What did we do to represent Christ when all of the world system and demonic stuff going on? My point is, the Bible tells in 1 John, don't love the world or the things in it. So I had to make decision of the things I was going to decide what I love. Your pastor back in another life used to be in the world. Your pastor back in another life was a creator of secular music. Your pastor in another life was a producer in the secular realm. Your pastor in another life created music that I'm not proud of that's popular right now. And if you found out some of those things, you'd be like, oh, my God, Pastor, you made that. There are beats to this day that some of the best beats that they've made on some song that if you found out that your pastor made. But I'm not proud of those things. So my point is when I saw things, when I toured and I saw things, the things that went music that I was in a studio producing and creating, when I saw what it did to people and I recognized that I was helping people to live a lifestyle that I was no longer proud of, this scripture made sense to me. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. So I don't even love things that I contributed to. My. Like, if I was about to die and Beyonce was in our church, could I ask her to pray for me? My point is, I have to make decisions. Who do I want around me that when time comes and I'm about to catch my last breath, can I depend on you to watch me and cover me? I had my cousin who passed away of cancer. He trusted me and the family in his last hours to be over him, to help him transition over. And it was a room of people there. Now, I'm praying over him. I'm speaking to him. He's barely breathing. He's in and out of consciousness. And yet and still, I'm speaking to him and praying over him and telling him that it's okay to leave this world to go to the next. That one happened to be Paula's brother. And in all of those things, in that moment, I'm thinking, Lord, you're trusting me over a human being in their last moments, leaving this world, transitioning to be with him. And all the people that was there, I had to make sure that in the room that he was in, I had to tell everybody that if you can't pray, get out. And I had to let all of them know, no matter their relationship and all. I had to tell them, if you can't pray, if you got anything negative, you got any question, any doubt, get out. And I had to make sure that he was covered and prepared, that nothing that was going to be around in his vulnerable time that is going to be around his spirit that can make his decision, because he was already afraid to die. So I didn't need any other thing helping him to bring fear into that room. My point is, at that point, the family trusted me with his life. With his life. We had music playing. It was godly music. You think we had Beyonce playing with spirits going back and forth, bouncing all around? My point to this whole thing is, as I tell y'all all the time, this thing is serious. I know it's a game for half of y'all, but this thing is serious for God. We're not supposed to love the world, nor the things in it. So when you're like, Pastor, what do you listen to? I don't listen to anything that's going to try to take me away from the things of God. Period. Pastor, you don't listen to secular music. I don't need to listen to any song that's going to tell me it's okay to cheat on my wife. I don't need to listen to any song that's going to tell me to go chase a booty. Period. I don't need any song that's going to make me think women are bees. Because when you come in here and you need prayer for me, I need you to know you're a queen, not a bee. When you're in the world, the other guys can treat you like a bee or think all you are body parts. I have to be able to look at you and tell you you're something that you're not used to hearing. So I can't be in the world. That's why the Bible says we're in it, but not of it. We can't be of this system, or we'll operate like the system. If you're going to be a world changer, you have to have the mindset to change the world, not a world participant. Period. So 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the Bible says the love of the Father is not in him. Because you can't love both. You can't love both. That's like me telling her, girl, I love you, but I sure love that other fine thing too. That's me saying, girl, listen, you know I love you. Listen, girl, we've been married over 9 years, 10 years. Next year gonna be 10 years. Girl, I love you, but I done found me a sweet thing over there, and I love her too. Now, I don't want you going nowhere because we got a good thing going. But I done found this sweet honey, and I love her too. So I'm gonna let the church know that they're gonna have to get used to another Mrs. Gross, because I won't be with you, but I'm gonna have to be with her too. That's what it's like when we're saying that I love everything in the world, but Lord, I love you too. How? How do we hold both hands? How do we hold the hand of the world and the hand of God? We take them both to our house? How can I pray and get my groove on at the same time? How can I adore my wife with a side chick? That's the Bible telling you that. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I done talked about Beyonce. Name another secular artist. How can you be at that concert and praise God during the concert? How can you be at that concert and praise the Lord? When's the last time you were at a secular concert and you felt the presence of the Lord? The presence of the Lord can't be there. So how can you be happy at a place that the presence of the Lord can't be? My job as a pastor is to say the truth, not to say the stuff to feel good. Lord knows the last couple of messages to me haven't been popular. But he trusts me to deliver these messages. 16, for all that's in the world, break it down, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. See, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. Do you get the lust of the flesh? You do know our flesh lusts after things. You do know that, like when you drive down neighborhoods and you're like, dang, we should live there. So now our house is just trash. You've been there. You know, just remodeled your house. You thought it was nice, had somebody over there, said it was good, until you went and saw another one. Amen. So the flesh lusts. You know, your car, you just washed it. Actually pulled the tiles out and dried it. Had the nerve to shine your tires up. Looking pretty till you saw another car and you like, how much do I owe on this one? Think about trading it in. Why? Because the flesh lusts after things. Let me tell you, I'm gonna tell y'all right now. The only reason that the Lord trusts me is that He has worked with me to remove the lust of my eyes out. I don't have the lust of my eyes. Otherwise, none of y'all women would still be in this church. Y'all know what this church went through. I don't have to go into that. All them brothers, just like, how you doing, girl? What'd you say? Yeah, it's true and sad. But guess what God did? Got all of them out. They all gone. We lost half the men. And look at the women clapping. If I was the problem, y'all would have left. Me and Ron, only one left. Oh, the OG crew is what I'm saying. You get it. It's sad, but it's true. Okay, there's certain things that God, He'll work with you all, you know. But so that it's important to understand the lust of the flesh. We have that, okay. That's why y'all feel comfortable. Y'all know I'm an affectionate pastor. I hug you, kiss you on the cheek, those things. Y'all know, y'all know it's this affectionate thing for me. Anybody ain't trying to get with you. Y'all know I'm down with her. I mean, y'all know I love y'all, but y'all know I'm only attracted to one woman. That's my sweet thing over there. You know, I tell her all the time, girl, you got it going on. I let her know. I affirm her all the time. I tell her all the time, girl, you ain't got nothing to worry about. I tell her that all the time because I know how crazy y'all women are. You know, y'all always, yeah. Listen, y'all know y'all crazy. That's why y'all don't like being alone. Got to talk to somebody because y'all don't want to talk to your own self. So I always have to let her know. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Y'all know it's true. Y'all wake up like, oh, my God, I'm ugly. Y'all wake up, oh, my God, my hair. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I just gained a pound. Don't let a button get tight. Y'all got your own world. I ain't got time for that. So I have to affirm her before she go into that crazy world. Girl, your hair's fine, your eyes fine. I didn't notice that the button was tight. None of that stuff. Okay. So verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. See, this is the pride of life. We talked about that about a year ago, being prideful. Prideful. You know, you got something, you're so proud of that. It becomes an idol. That thing, you got to be careful of those things you're proud of. Next thing you know, you're proud of it. Next thing you know, you're walking with that thing, and that thing becomes an idol. And now that thing is higher than other things. So it says, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And then 17 says, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It's important that we understand this is the conflict of our love. You know, it's a conflict. The conflict of our love is we have to make the decision in the conflict of what we love. What we love. We have to make a decision of what we love. We have to decide, I can't love that anymore. We have to make a decision. I used to love that, but I don't anymore, and this is why. We have to make conscious decisions. I can't love that anymore because it's no longer healthy for me for the way that I need to be now. Like people, you know, my conversations when they hear I'm a pastor and they have all of these prejudgments of how I live or what I think, and they have no idea. And they think I'm against a secular, and I'm not against it for. It's a type of music. I'm not against it, but it's not conducive to my behavior. Okay? Imagine, because I got some sounds in my car. I don't even know who's out. But imagine you hear me rolling up in the parking lot, and I'm playing some rap song that got the most foul language in it, and what they're talking about, you know, the women and all that, and it's the pastor playing. What would y'all think? You say I'm tripping. You say what? I would hope you at least start out with being uncomfortable. I mean, if I came in the parking lot, they some B's and some H's. And I'm pulling up. I'm like, good morning. Hey, y'all. What do you expect to come out the pulpit? See, it's funny, but when y'all listen to it, it's cool. Because it's just music when it's y'all. But when it's me, something's wrong. That's why y'all some phony baloney. All right, as we close, go to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to get out of this piece. I told you guys, said beginning of the year, he's getting us ready for TV. He keeps talking to me about it. He keeps having meetings with me about it. Of us getting ready for TV. We've gotten all of the system stuff together. We've got all the technical stuff together. We have all the things ready. We're tweaking some things and all those things. Crazy thing is, you got doing all of this stuff, tweaking, getting everything ready for streaming. Now we're streaming everywhere, all of that stuff. And guess what we're about to do? Shut down the stream. We're about to shut down the stream. Because God said what he's about to do with us is personal. He'll have ways for you guys to be able to see things for going back and reviewing the messages, but not for the world. He's shutting the door because he said too many people are playing peekaboo and getting what you guys are getting, and they think they don't have to come in the building to get it. Yeah. Too many people that done left the church is still watching us on stream, getting what you guys are getting, and God said he won't have that because he wants some personal stuff and some things that he wanted to say. He's been talking to me about it before, and I'm down with it. Listen, our audio and video team has done an amazing job. Tiff and Darrell have rocked the house. It is professional. It is 100% professional, and they know, especially Tiffany know, I critique everything. I appreciate her patience. I appreciate her excellence and her skill. She's taken it to a whole nother level. And Darrell has done that with the sound. I mean, the sound is beautiful. They know I watch it. I text them. I let them know this audio, this. But he said, we're going to shut that down because he didn't call this ministry to be like every other one. Yeah. Breakthrough Assembly is a different type of ministry. And there's some things that in your development, there's some things that you're going to go through. He don't want everybody seeing. There's some change happening. There's some prophecies going. He don't want people knowing what's going on. So if you like, well, I like telling everybody to watch. What? You should have liked telling them to come. Yeah. So you can share the message by telling them, come here like you come here. So it's going to be some changes happening in the church. We'll talk about them as they take place. But there's some things God is getting me ready for so we can get ready for the church. I think it's hilarious. This probably will be the first church that will ever go on TV after they stop streaming, which I'm cool with whatever God say. I don't have to understand that. I just have to be obedient to it. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse number 19. We'll end it here. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of the holiest. Excuse me. Let me say that again. Let me give me a little liquid. Yeah. Let me give me a little liquid. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Number one, you can't enter into the holiest unless you're rocking with Jesus. He if he's going to trust you to go into the holiest of holiness, you have to go with his name tag on your shirt. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, 21, and having a high priest over the house of God. It's time to have a high priest, not a friend. It's time to have a high priest, not somebody that you can drink with and club with. There has to become some distinctions in the body of Christ. Somebody got to be holy. It has to start somewhere. There has to be somewhere that you recognize that they are holy. They're striving to be holy. And so one is going to start with me and that chickadee. That our house has to be holy. People can't come in our house and think that they could just cause havoc up in there or do whatever they want to do and then come in our house. Nope, because we're going to have a sin meter. A sin meter. That if we feel that you done did some junk and then think you want to come in our house to steal up our peace, not up in this peace. We may offer up your house, but not ours. Too many people think they can do too many things and come and steal your peace and your joy. So when we say, I'm not who I was, show me. I'm not who I was, show me then. Because the Bible tells me I'm supposed to judge you by your fruit. Let me see if I can pick something off of you and eat it. Because if I can't eat from what's off you, then what's on you isn't healthy. Amen. If I'm going through something and CG is near me, I need to be able to pick off of CG and eat and knowing that what's on her is good for me. But if I take a bite and I pull a bite off DJ and immediately I get sick, then I know what you're producing. Is not healthy. So, I'm not who I used to be. I'm like, prove it. Show me what you're working with. The whole thing is, we say I'm not who I used to be, but that's just a cute saying. How are you not how you used to be? Can you document it? What's different? Who's different in your life? Does everybody that's doing everything still feel comfortable enough to be around you right after they did it? Hear that silence right there? Where we at? What verse? Thank you. Let us draw near with a true heart, true one, not that phony baloney one we've been doing. Not that wickety wickety whack one. A true heart and full assurance of doubt. Some of us got that full assurance of straight doubt. I think God is good, but right now I don't know. I know he's real, but I don't know about in my life. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. It's not his fault if you don't believe the promise. It's not his fault if you gave up on a promise. It's not his fault if you lost your patience waiting on the promise. It's not his fault. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and do good works. I got to provoke you for good works. If I got to provoke you to do some good works, that's my job. 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. When you confess you are new, you got to be new. You can't say I'm new with old tendencies. You can't say I'm new with old habits. You can't say I'm new with old desires. The tendencies have to change. The desires have to change. You know, I've talked to people for decades about Christian rap, and people say it is whack. Christian rap will sound whack when you are comparing it to worldly rap. You'll think the beats are weak. You'll think the lyrics are weak. Because when you put the strong world against God's faith, at first is no comparison, because sin is wrapped up in the world. So it's stronger than the faith. So as you build up your faith, your desire will get stronger and you'll look towards that. I give a challenge. How many of us love us some secular music? Put your hands in the air, wave like this, don't care. Come on, y'all know. All right. I challenge, don't force him to put his hand up. I don't want anything forced in this church no more. That's our problem. We do stuff because we force it, and it means nothing. All right, I had two of y'all to put your hands up that you love you some worldly music. I challenge you guys, a 30-day challenge. No worldly music for 30 days, and only Christian music for 30 days. Any one of you want to go through that challenge? Because there'll be a prize at the end. You'll do the challenge? Okay. Put your hand. You weren't even awake half the service, Abraham. Put your hand down. You going to do the challenge? Now, I'm going to have to trust y'all now because I'm going to be checking on you. You going to do the challenge? No, I mean for real. 100%. You've already started. Okay, well, then you're going to continue then. Okay, so we got two of y'all. Okay. 30 days. Am I secure? Two people that I suggest you talk to for all of your music, Tiny and Tiffany. All three of you for the recommendations. If whatever you want, they can give it to you. They all have been trained by me. I take full credit for both of them. I take full credit for both of them. Whatever you want, they can give it to you. What you want? You want the funk? It's all in the gospel. You want the rap? You want? If you love R&B, they got something for you. And the people R&B, you like that jazz fusion? They got it. You got that R&B fusion? They got it. Whatever you like in the secular, they will tell you and give you different people. At the end, you three people. Whatever you like, they got it. You like, this is my favorite. They'll ask you who you like. And they'll give you somebody in comparison. Like, oh, if you like this one, you're going to love these. I put a challenge on y'all three that after the 30 days, if you still want to go back to secular, after 30 days of Christian thing, I personally will give each one of you $500. Personally, me. It's not the church. This is coming out of me and this fine woman's bank account. Because I believe that strong, if you do it 100%, you're not going to want to go back. And I'm only doing this because I want the healthiest stuff going in y'all. Because I'm not anti any artist. Even though it probably sounded like it after I was talking. But I ain't scared. I ain't scared. This communion thing here. I don't want to do it the way we normally do it. Everybody's going to get one. But this has been a whole different service. Everybody's going to get one of these that want one. Now, what does represent? Put your hand down, Abraham. Until you don't have your finger in your mouth, you get nothing. Everybody that wants one is going to get one. But everybody that understands what this means, this represent, I'm going to put this in modern day terms. Jesus was about to die for us. And he had a service with his disciples. And they broke bread and they drank wine in remembrance of what was going to happen to him. And the bread was his body and the wine was his blood. So we're going to take these in remembrance of him. But what I want you to do is take it home with you. And I want you to be able to have a quiet spot. Quiet spot. Don't do it with anybody else. I want you to have your own personal communion with Christ. I want you to make your own decision. This is a whole decision that, Lord, I want to walk with you. I remember what you did, and Lord, I want to know you in another way. I'm going to eat this cracker, I'm going to drink this juice in remembrance of you, and as it goes down, it's a representation for me that I want to be closer to you. I want it to be real. I want a real relationship with you. I want to know you for myself. So only take this if you want to do it. Only take it if it's real. You won't offend anybody if you won't take it. I'm not even going to take it with my girl later. I'm going to do it separate. I'm going to go on a deck. And I'm going to take this on my deck by myself. Not that you can't be on the deck, but you get what I'm saying. Don't take this for nobody else. Don't take it for somebody who didn't show up. Don't say, I'm going to go take it and drop it off. God is doing some things that is in the moment. God is saying some things in the moment. God is doing some things that's going to capture some things in the moment. Only thing I want you to do is all of you guys, when you take it, don't even go on band and say, I took it. Don't say anything. Just do it. Because so many times we tell everybody what we're doing with Christ. Some things should just be private, personal. Some things don't need to be shared or glamorized. I want us to get back to the intimacy of Christ. I want us to get back to the intimacy of our relationship with him. I want it to begin to start meaning something again. Does anybody know what I'm saying? I want to bring back the power of Christ. I want to bring back the thirst for those that want to be with him. Luke, you know what I'm saying. I want to bring back the hunger again to be in his presence. In the anticipation of when you're sitting with somebody in church, you don't know what's going to break out. You don't know what move of God. You don't know what he's going to do or who he's going to use to start out with a shout. And then that shout turns into a praise. And then that praise turns into an atmosphere of the move of God. So, and all of that, God's about to shut the lights out on the screen. And had the doors open. That used to mean something when the doors were open in church. It used to mean something when the doors were open. We're gonna get that meaning back again. Amen. I'm ready for a revival that's gonna come into this place. He wants to be able to trust us and use us. Amen. 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 We're going to get ready for communion. Those who's watching this
Are we still alive, Tiff? Are we still alive? So let me say this before we shut it down. Anybody that's watching this on the stream, God loves you. Give me camera two. God loves you. In spite of whatever you did, God loves you. Whatever you did can't stop God from loving you. But God does want you and want you to be able to be you with Him guiding you. He doesn't want you to be perfect because you'll never be able to be perfect. But He does want you to be available. So what I'm asking you, if you want to truly be able to say, I'm not who I used to be, then let's make a difference right now. If you want God over everything, if you want a relationship with Him over any other relationship, if you want to finally be able to put Him first so that you can become aligned and your lifestyle can become aligned, then all you got to do is lift up your hands right now and repeat after me and say, Lord God, I give You my life. I need You. I don't want to go back. So come into my heart. Become my Lord and my Savior. I believe that Jesus lived for 33 years on this earth, died for my sins that was included on that cross. And I believe that in 3 days He rose again with all power in His hand, and He had enough power to redeem me and to save me. So I give You my life right now. At this moment, I'm saved. I'm saved from my previous sin with no intention of going back. Lord, help me go forward. Help me find the church that I can go to and grow and develop in. Help me find my role and my place in this world. Help me find my purpose from this moment on, in Jesus' name. If you did that, your life just changed. If you did that, your life is not the same. And if you did that, you are not who you used to be. No matter what somebody else remembers, including yourself, about your past, find you a good church, a Bible-based believing church. Not an entertaining one, but one that's going to give you what you need, going to give you the Word of God. Walk in the new and let go of the old, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. With that being said, we're going to sign off on the stream. We will see you when we see you. And the one way we know we'll see you, if you're in the house. We love you. We'll be praying for you. Peace out. So, party people.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.